My name is John Musgrave, and I serve as the church health director here in Ohio, and have served in that capacity for over 18 years, and will be retiring in June, and my wife is excited about that, and she asked me if I'm excited, and I said, I'm not sure yet, and because I've been involved in active ministry, will be 47 years. And when you've done something that long in different capacities, it's really hard for me to get my head around what that might look like, you know, in retirement. So I told her this week, I'm afraid that I might turn into a lazy bum. And she said, I don't think that's going to happen. So anyway, but we welcome you to an Acts 2 session, and going to give you a little background, and then we're going to put you to work. So this is going to be an active session. If you need a pen or a pencil, just go ahead and raise your hand right now, and my wife will make sure you have one, and just keep your hand up until she hands you one. But this is going to be a participatory session, and we want you to be a part of that. But as a network, we have used several different, I'll call it resources, tools, as a tool to revitalize our churches, to put something in their hands that would allow them to go from plateaued and or decline into a place of growth and expansion. And when I entered into the picture 18 years ago, we were using natural church development. And still an active program, they're still working with churches and so forth. And then we shifted to Church Life Ministries. And again, a great, great program, great ministry. I really appreciate Doc Lee and Sherry Lee and the work they did with Church Life Ministries. We still use that today. I still do church consultations through that vehicle and so forth. It was a little bit, for lack of a better word, pretty intense. And what it was we would invite a pastor to attend a cohort, and then the pastor would take that information back to his church and try to then implement some of those things within the confines of the church, which we saw great success, probably had 85, 90 churches go through that material, and many are still, you know, gleaning from that, you know, several years later. But about 5 years ago, the national office began to offer Acts 2 Journey. And we've been looking at it. We looked at it for about a year or two before we switched. And I'm just going to, you know, Acts 2 is a little more simplistic. It still covers all the necessary information, but it's more simplistic. And instead of the pastor going to a cohort, the pastor and a vision team participates together in the cohort. And we have just found that piece of bringing a vision team with the pastor is just a game changer. It is just a game changer. We are now doing a cohort in Reynoldsburg, and I'm leading that in Reynoldsburg, and we've got probably six churches attending that. And I'm pointing to this table because the group that was sitting right at this table at the end of that day, you know, we kind of just, hey, any comments, any thoughts? And the one gentleman who I've known for probably 45 years, he raised his hand. He said, Pastor John, he said, I just always thought the pastor was the one that got the vision, you know, kind of went up the mountain of God and heard from God. And then he came down and told us what the vision was. He goes, this is so cool. He goes, we're getting the vision together. He goes, this is the way it should be. He goes, this is awesome. He goes, it's not a matter of pastor, but we're together discovering what God wants us to do in our community, in our church. And for that gentleman, again, I want to go deep. For that gentleman to say that at that table, it was like, I'm still kind of holding my mouth open, you know what I'm saying? Because it was just so off the charts. And that's what we want to see. But the Acts 2 journey, and I'm going to be just kind of walking through these first few slides, it's a transformational process. And we cannot underestimate that word process. It is a year-long process, and the pastor in the church will participate in four retreats. We normally start in probably October, There's another retreat in either November or January, another retreat in April, and another retreat in June. So it's a transformational process. It's not a one-day event. It's not something where you just come for one weekend. It literally is a process. And the goal is that we would be able to strengthen the church spiritually, numerically, and relationally. And you join, like I said a minute ago, a team of leaders. You bring a team of leaders with you. We recommend, depending on the size of the church, at least 10%. Now, that will go, percentage-wise, that will go down with the size of the church. But we really don't want a church that's averaging 30 people and just the pastor coming by himself. You know, we want 3 to 5 people at that table with them going through this process. Now, as the church is larger, 75, 100, 200, that 10% will probably come down to more like 7 or 5% or something like that. But it allows a group of people, and that'll be a combination of board members, combination of ministry leaders. We recommend that you have some people at the table that maybe have been a part of the church for several years, and also have some people at the table that haven't been a part of the church maybe for a year, year and a half. Because you can say what you will, but somebody that's been there for 30 years, they look at the church differently than the guy that's been there 6 months. So we want a mixture of that group of people. And so in that Acts 2 journey, the kingdom of God, it's not about numbers, but it's about stories. And every church has a story, okay? Patrick Mitchell, Pastor Patrick, was here doing the missions thing in this room a few minutes ago, and he's now pastoring the church that Barb and I pastored for 27 years. Okay, so some of the things he was sharing, I knew who he was talking about, even though he didn't mention their name. Okay, so I did, you know, and that's a cool thing, but we all have a story, and we would suggest that many times we've forgotten our story. We've forgotten our story. And one of the things about the Acts 2 journey, it helps us as a church to in a sense, kind of reclaim our story and to really begin to, God, what did you make us to be? What did you make us to be? And then with that, of course, the principles and the things that we walk through with the Acts 2 journey, we believe they're applicable to any size church. Okay, and through the Acts 2 journey, you're going to begin asking the question, what is the mission of the church? Okay, Acts 2 would say that every church has the same mission. And it's based on the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Every church needs to be doing that. I'm not saying they are, but they should be. Okay, and then the second, of course, is go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the mission of every church. That's what Acts 2 would say. And then from the mission, then we begin to talk about the vision. How do you take that mission into your local setting and create a vision that will allow you to accomplish the mission? How do you do that? And again, I've been in this role for 18 years, like I said. We've got a lot of great churches across this network. There's probably, you know, right now we've got about 300 churches, and I've probably been in 250 of them. Okay, and we've got a lot of great churches, but you know, they're not the same. Now, I grew up in a church as a child where, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, every AG church looked the same. We were probably singing the same songs, and we were probably having some of the same messages in tongues and interpretation, and probably preaching a lot of the same sermons. You go to one AG church, that's no longer the case. And some think that's awful. They say, oh, that's awful. I don't think it's awful. I think it's good. You know, I don't know about you. I used to be a youth pastor back before you were all born, you know, but I used to be a youth pastor. And anytime I took the youth group on some kind of a trip, convention, camp, or whatever, you know, we'd have our 15-passenger van or 60-passenger bus, whatever. And I learned, stop at an exit that has multiple fast food restaurants. I learned. Because you'd stop at McDonald's, I don't like McDonald's. Stop at Taco Bell, I don't like Taco Bell. So I stopped someplace and I said, hey, you got 30 minutes. Want to go to Taco Bell, go to Taco Bell. Want to go to Wendy's, go to White Castle, whatever. Be back here in 30 minutes. Okay? And we're kidding ourselves if we think that world out there is just going to respond to the same church on the same corner. So who are we? And Acts 2 helps to discover that vision. And then we also talk about values. And, you know, the slides give you a little background, but I have found, and again, I got to be careful here, but some of our churches have forgotten what their values are, or they've made personal preferences their values instead of the Word of God. I want to be careful because, again, when Patrick was here a little bit ago, Barb and I had been there 27 years, and the Sunday morning that we announced, you know, everybody's boo-hooing and crying and so forth. Well, there was one lady in the church that probably about 5 years earlier, we needed to remove the pulpit from the platform. Okay, and the reason we had to do that is because if you sat on this side of the church, you could not see the overhead. We had a low ceiling, and the pulpit blocked the PowerPoint, okay? And this lady was devastated. You took my pulpit. And like every month or so, she'd go, Pastor John, we need to get the pulpit back. We need the pulpit. And I would say, whenever she, I'd take her over there, and I'd say, her name was Lucille. I said, Lucille, I said, I want you to stand right here. That pulpit was large. It was big. I said, if you stood over here or sat, you couldn't see. Well, tell them to sit someplace else. I said, we need those seats. Our church is growing. Well, anyway, Sunday I resigned. People's boo-hoo and crying. She comes, first thing out of her mouth, does this mean I get my pulpit back? I would suggest that her value was a personal preference and not a conviction from the Word of God. And many of our churches have kind of drifted to where we've lost sight of our values. So, and Acts 2 helps to discover that. And then we finally, we get to a point where the clear assessment and so forth, through this process, we actually are able to help you create a strategic plan to move your church forward in some core areas. We'll get into that in just a minute. But when you finish the Acts 2 journey, you've not only, in a sense, a rekindled mission and vision, you've not only begun to say, okay, these are our true values, but then you begin to work on a strategic plan to move your church forward into hopefully a new future, a new place of growth, and so forth. And so we want to be that group that helps you to do that. So we would suggest that change, communication is critical in that process. And so that's why we think it's important to pastor and a team is at that, because we want to communicate with that leadership team. We want to communicate with them and develop and practice so that when you leave, you've literally got a presentation. And it's not a plant, but you're relaunching your church with a new mission, with a new vision, with new values, and with a new strategy to move it forward. And it's not you, i.e. pastor, by yourself, but it's a core team around you. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to be doing, and so forth. So these plans have been made by a team, and hopefully that team is a team of influencers. And those influencers are talking about we and us, and not just pastor. This is what pastor wants to do. This is what the pastor thinks we ought to know. We feel we need to. This is what we have prayed about, and so forth. So many times, if we're not careful, we forget that the growth potential of your church is not right now in your building. It's probably outside your building. But many times they're not coming to your building because of whatever reason, okay? And so when the congregation's lost the vision for what could be, they begin to go into a maintenance mode, And Acts 2 is going to challenge us to move out of that maintenance mode and allow us to realize that we're going to move forward. And, you know, so that's why the Acts 2 journey experience gives us high priority to lifting our eyes to the field. Okay? If I were going to boil down the Acts 2 vision in a couple key phrases, number one, it refocuses us. Mission, vision, values. But it also allows us to see the thing. It's not just me, the pastor, doing it, but a team around me that's going to help me do it, raising up other leaders and then an external focus. An external focus. I'm helping a church right now, and we're gearing up for Easter, and we're believing God for a double attendance on Easter Sunday. Okay? And we're sharing that. We're talking about that. We're getting people, want people to invite their friends. And so we're talking about, look at the fields. Look at the harvest. The county that we're in right now has, it's a rural county, but it has 45,000 people. And we know that on any given Sunday, 2/3 of those people do not go to church. Why not come to our church? Why not come here? How many people go to church on Easter? Oh, man, a lot of people. Why not come to our church on Easter? You know, invite your coworker, invite your friend. Let's get them here on Easter Sunday. So, you know, and align the values of strategy around a clear vision will more effectively propel the local church forward. And so we need to ask better questions. And so that's what the Acts 2 thing is. We help you to ask the right questions. And vision supported by the right values, the best real steps, get it to the little church where it needs to go. And so throughout the process, we're really just kind of guiding you. I mean, we do teach some things. We do give some examples. We're trying to guide your thought process and your team's thought process so you can literally come up with your vision, your strategy, and so forth. And when you begin to own it, then it becomes yours, and it's no longer a program. It's no longer something we said, but you begin to own that, and that is so healthy and so good. It's based around these five things. It's based around worship in the middle, and we'll explain this in a minute. Grow at the top is discipleship, not grow numbers, discipleship. The connect is assimilating guests and building bridges and so forth. The other side is serve, that's leadership, get people involved in ministry, and then the bottom is go. We found that if a church will refocus on these five things, that God will help them to move forward. So everything starts with vision, and in the Acts 2 journey, we define vision as the unique expression of Christ's mission for your local church. Our description of the church is we believe we were meant to become. We are meant to become what God wants us to become. So... But I have a model train set in my basement. My wife allows me to tinker with it, and maybe that's one of the things that I'll do more with when I retire. I don't know. But my grandkids love that thing. Man, two grandsons. I got a 7-year-old, 6-year-old grandson. Man, as soon as they come to Pat Paul's house, almost the first thing, train, you know, can I see the train, okay? And I would just suggest to you that the engine is what makes the train go. The engine is what, and vision is what makes your church go. And I don't think we necessarily purposely lose vision. I think we drift. I don't think we get up on Sunday morning and say, we don't want to have a vision. I think we just, over time, we kind of drift. And when people say, well, what's your vision? It's like, I'm not sure. Well, the Acts 2 journey will help you to rediscover that vision and so forth. So I'm going to go fast through these, and then I want to get to the main part of the presentation. But I want you to listen to a video. I hope it. Do we have volume? I forgot to ask you that. Let me stop that. Make sure we have a volume. Maybe I turned my volume down. Nope. I apologize. We should have checked this before session, and we didn't, and that's my fault. That is my fault. Still not. Okay, I'm going to skip this. And I apologize for that, but it's about a three-minute video. Alton Garrison, our former assistant general superintendent, is the author and one of the main contributors of the Acts 2 journey. So do you think you have it now, or do you know? Okay. And so I want you to turn in the booklet that we have. It's the booklet and not one of the pamphlets, this one here. I want you to pull that up and... I want us to, every church has a life cycle. Every church has a life cycle. And we're going to talk in a minute about this, and this is where you're going to get involved. But, you know, every church goes through a life cycle from birth to infancy to childhood to adolescence to adulthood to prime, and then unfortunately begins down the maturity, the emptiness, the retirement, the old age. And I just don't like this next one, but sometimes churches die. Okay, every church has a life cycle. Every organization has a life cycle. And so we need to be real about that. And I want you to notice on this, the VRPM, the words there at the bottom, vision, relationships, programs, and management. And I want you to notice under birth, in that birth section, man, the vision is large. The vision is large. Man, we're going to plant a church, or I'm a new pastor. Man, we're going to really turn this thing around and so forth. But notice also that the relationships, the programs, and the management are smaller, okay, are smaller. And notice in the infancy that the vision and relationships begin to rise, but your programs and management are small. Why is that? Because when you're starting to talk about vision, there are people that resonate with that. Man, they're like, oh, you're going to do that? Man, I'm in. And look, I want to help you do that, you know? So there's a resonation of people that just like what they're hearing, okay? And then, of course, you get to childhood and the vision, the relationships, and then the programs begin, okay? You started with maybe 40 people, and now you got 20 kids coming. Man, we need a program for these kids. You know, man, they're getting too loud here in the sanctuary. We can't have them in here all week. You know, so now we got to start ministry to the kids. We got a nursery. We got youth ministry. So the programs, just by necessity almost, begin to take, and then adolescence, the vision, relationship programs are big. And you're really not managing anything. You know, it's just kind of, in a sense, it's just happening on its own. You know, it's like, man, the momentum and the vision, the relationship, it's just kind of happening on its own. And then we get to a point of adulthood where, okay, man, we've got to figure out, we're doing stuff on Wednesday night, or we're doing stuff on Thursday night, and, you know, the kids use that room on Sunday morning, and the men are trying to have a Bible study in that room on Thursday night, and the ladies are using it on Saturday. Man, we need to manage this thing. You know, we got a sign-up sheet for who's going to use the room at the right time, and so forth and so on, and all that. We got a van, and they want to use it on one day, and they want to use it on, got to have somebody figure that, got to manage this thing. And all that's good. All that's good. And we get to prime, and we find ourselves enjoying, man, what God's doing. We're enjoying it, okay, and that's good. But what happens if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves tipping into maturity, and the first thing to begin to wane a little bit is vision. It starts to wane a little bit because things are going good. And we kind of like this. This is fun. And then as you go into the emptiness, we see that vision and programs begin to wane a little bit, because some of the people that were vitally involved in those programs on the left side of this, they're starting to leave. They're starting to go someplace else, or they're getting transfers. You know, they got transferred to, you know, when we were at Girard, we had one year that we had, I think it was 32 leaders that left in the same year. You know, and I'm like, Barb, what are we doing? You know, one got transferred to Atlanta, another one got moved to South Carolina, another got moved to Buffalo, and it wasn't some tragic thing happening. They went to college, and they got adulthood, and they got a good job, and they got transferred and so forth. A couple of them retired, and they decided to go to Florida instead of living in Northeast Ohio. I didn't understand that. I mean, what's wrong with Northeast Ohio, you know? But I'm just saying that some of the people that were key began to leave for different reasons. And now with programs, and then retirement, vision small, relationships small, programs ramp up a little bit because, man, we got to keep this going. I know we used to have 30 boys in Royal Rangers, and now we only have 2, but, man, we got to keep it going. Got to have Royal Rangers, got to have missionettes, whatever it is, okay? And then old age, vision, retirement, programs, maturity, they all begin to wane a little bit. And then you reach a point where, man, if something doesn't happen here, we're not going to have a church, okay? Now, I would suggest to you, and we give definitions to those in your books, but there's a sheet like this in your booklet, and this is where you're going to come involved, and this is an exercise we would have the church do in the first retreat, okay? Now, what I need you to do is I need you to pick 2 things in the row that you feel describe your church right now. two things in the row. Okay, and when I say the row one has three bullet points, don't circle all three bullet points, just circle one of those bullet points. And again, you're only circling two all the way across. So you might have one in column one and one in column three. You might have one in column one and one in column two, whatever, but do that across each row. So each row, one here, maybe one here. One here, maybe one here. One here, maybe one here. I want you just to circle one, two things in each row that you feel, hey, that's probably where our church is right now. That's probably where our church is right now. Okay? So take a few moments and do that little exercise, and then we'll come back in just a minute. And I would say, where it is right now, not where you want it to be. Not when, if this happens, no. Where it is right now. And in a normal setting, we would give a church probably 10, 15 minutes to do this. Unfortunately, in this setting, we're not going to be able to give you that long. So I apologize for that. Going to give you about 30 more seconds. It's a very simple exercise, but it can be very revealing. Particularly when you're around a table with 7, 8, 9 leaders from your church. Realize some of you might not be done, and I apologize for that, but if you could now, I would like you to add up the number you have in column one. So maybe you put one here, put a one down. Maybe you put two in here, put two down here. Maybe there's three circled here, put a three down here. Maybe there's four or five here, whatever. Just add up your column, the number in each column. So the first exercise, you looked at the rows. Now you're adding up the columns. It's just a simple math exercise. If you need a calculator, please pull out your phone. No. Just add up your columns. Take a minute and write those digits at the bottom. So how many are in column one? How many are in column two? How many did you circle in column three? How many did you circle in column four? How many did you circle in column five? Okay? And during the retreat, what we would do, we would have each person do this individually for the church. And then you would have a session where you would talk around the table about your differences, similarities, and so forth. And then we would want you to arrive at a place where there was a sense of agreement of what you felt as a team. This is where we feel we're at a team, okay? Now, I'm going to go to the next. You've added that. Now, if you've got a higher number in column one or two, then your church is probably on a place of rising and probably moving forward. If you've circled more in column three, you're probably at a maturity level, possibly even a prime level. And if you've got more in four or five, you're probably facing some decline, some plateau, and you're on the other side of that hill, okay? Now, I want to give you a word that depresses me, but it might encourage you. Probably 75% of our churches, Assembly God churches, are on the right side of this hill. Okay? You know, 75%, and again, they've got stats they use as far as growth and so forth, but most of our churches are plateaued and or declining. And that's why our network offers church life. That's why we offer Church Boom. That's why we offer Acts 2, because we want our churches to rediscover and get back on a track of growth and so forth. So with that in mind, that awareness of where you're at then allows you to say, okay, if you're in phase three, which would be the middle, we need to look at our vision. We need to kind of recast vision and kind of look at where we're at and so forth. And that might be able to be done internally. You might be able to just get your key leadership together and do something internally. If you're at over here on this side, phase four, you're at a place of mandatory change. You know, you cannot stay at column four very long until, man, we've got to make some changes here. Something's got to change, okay? And then if you're in column five, that's when we would suggest, man, you might need some external assistance. You might need to have someone come in or attend an Acts 2 or something where, hey, we need some play. And I'll say this, Pastor, for many years, sometimes it's good to have an outside voice to say some of the things that the pastor knows needs to be said, but it's hard for that pastor to say those things. Okay, so we just mentioned that in that regard. Now, again, some of you know that I had open heart surgery 5 years ago, and a triple bypass, and one of them was a widowmaker and all that good stuff, you know. And truth of the matter is, I felt fine. I thought the heart doctor was crazy. I said, "You, it's crazy," you know. Going to the full story, I'll tell you that later. But I reached a point where I knew if something didn't change, I was going to have a major problem. And I would suggest to you that we have some churches, might not be yours, but we have some churches that they've got to take a serious look and say, man, something's got to change. I can't keep going the way I am, and so forth. So we want to provide an Acts 2 journey that allows you to do it. So we would say that wherever you're at on that little exercise, you're here. We want to help you get here. We want to help you get here, and through the Acts 2 journey, we believe we can help you build a bridge of hope. We can revisit our mission. We can revisit our vision. We can revisit our values. We can revisit our strategy, and together we can come up with something that will allow you to move from where you are to wherever you want to be, okay? Now, again, you know, we would suggest to you, right now we've had probably... We're right at probably 25 churches that have gone through the Acts 2 journey. I was talking to one of the pastors about a month ago, and he went through the Acts 2 journey a year ago, okay? And coming out of COVID, he said, John, we've just lost traction. We just can't get momentum. And he says, COVID really just knocked the socks out of us. And so he attended a session, something like this, and he said, man, I need that Acts 2 journey thing. okay? And he was one of five churches in that particular cohort. It was in Northwest Ohio. I talked to him last month, and in the last year, since they launched their new mission, their new vision, and so forth, they've increased by 33% in their Sunday morning attendance, and they've increased 22% in their membership, okay? Now, again, I think that's pretty cool. You know, so and again, he was all in, and I'll be honest with you, his vision team was about as big as this group here today, and only a church about 100, but he brought like 25% of them for the vision team. You know, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work, but it worked and it was great. But they all bought into it. You know what I'm saying? He had 25% of his church when he left the Acts 2. They were already bought in. So I thought, man, he's gonna do well. So, we begin to ask these questions, and I'm gonna stop here in a couple minutes. But many times we've got to look at our urgency. Do we have a missional urgency or a survival urgency? There's a big difference there. Okay, I entered into the Bell Fountain situation 8 and 10 years ago. They had a survival urgency. We got to pay the bills. We got to pay the mortgage. That particular church had a $1.2 million debt with about 35 people in the house. Their biggest concern was making sure we pay the mortgage. Got to keep our building. And I met with a banker several times. I was there longer than I should have been. We were able to get them to a point where they were paying the mortgage every month. And saw about a 60% growth in that period of time. And I changed the question. You know, they didn't like it. But I said, I'm not worried about the loan. And they looked at me like, well, you should be. You know? I said, I think if we get the church healthy, the loan will take care of itself. If we get the church healthy, the loan will take care of itself. So we just kind of changed the question. But what is your urgency? Your passion for the urgency, and I'm speaking out of pastors, is the single biggest reason that your church will accept change. If you can't get passionate about it, your church probably won't. And then build the right team. Acts 2 is going to help you see where you can build the right team. It talks a lot about the priesthood of the believers. We don't think this should be a one-man show. This should be a group of people coming around you, helping you to accomplish. People that care, dream, believe, and so forth. And they ask the right questions. What is our vision? If we're going to fulfill that vision, what should our priorities be? What steps do we need to take to fulfill our vision? Okay? And what should we continue doing? What should we do differently? And what should we stop doing? There's some things we might be investing a lot of time in that... energy that, I mean, it's really not accomplishing. It's not moving our vision forward. So, and that can be, and what do we need to start? What do we need to do new, different, or fresh that will help us that in that regard? So I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to share one more illustration, and it is going back to my heart situation. You know, I'm not big on exercise. You can probably tell that by my body. But you can ask my wife. That, and it didn't happen today because we had to get up at 4 o'clock instead of 5 o'clock. But since my heart attack, and not heart attack, but heart surgery, never had a heart attack, heart surgery, yeah, I'm pretty disciplined about being on my treadmill every morning at about 6:15. And every morning I do about 3 miles on my treadmill. Do I do that because I like to do it? And you can ask this lady, I said, you know, that first quarter mile, man, why am I doing this? You know, what in the world were you thinking? You know, but you get about a half mile and then that mile in, and okay, now I know I'm doing it. And I would suggest to you that the Acts 2 journey probably is going to cause you to get on your treadmill a little bit. It's going to say, hey, we got to rethink some things. But if we want to move from the other side of the hill and begin to project growth and so forth, then we've got to change some things. We've got to do some things differently. And we believe that God wants your church to more effectively reach your community where he's planted you. He's planted you there for a reason. He's placed you there for a reason. So we want you to be aware of that. We will be initiating probably 2 more cohorts in the fall, and we've been trying to do those regionally. And by that I mean we've done one in Region 1, we've done one in Region 4, we've done one in Region 6 now, Region 7. We try to move them around. And it's really predicated mainly on the interest that we find from churches. So if we've got two or three churches that really want to be a part of it, then we'll find a place to do one in your region. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So, and the goal is that you wouldn't have to drive 2 hours to participate, but there would be maybe 30, 45 minutes. Because again, if you're bringing your whole team in, and again, let me clarify, Friday evening is for the pastors and their spouses. We just speak leadership principles into the pastor and the spouse. And then Saturday, you bring your vision team in. But if you're bringing a vision team in, you don't want to have to drive 2 hours on a Saturday morning. So we try. That's why we're doing them geographically. And normally we have anywhere from 3 to 7 churches that participate in a cohort. And it's much like this setting here. And we provide a lunch and so forth. There is a registration cost and so forth. But we're seeing some good things as pastors and churches are reevaluating mission, putting together a strategic plan, and moving some things forward. So I want to pause. And any questions, anything? Yes?
How much is the cost?
Right now, the cost this past year was right at $1,100 for the whole thing, okay? And that included the pastor, his spouse, the vision team, so forth. That's everything. That's the whole deal, okay? The only added expense to that will be the books, the manuals, and that's a per-person thing. So in this last year, we offered them digitally. So, you know, so if you wanted a printed copy, there was a cost because of print and so forth. But if you wanted digital copies, we just sent you the digital link and you use that. So, again, I'm saying this last year was right at $1,100 a church and so forth. So, and we feel that's pretty realistic when 4 retreats and so forth and so on.
Well, that's for all the retreats.
That's everything.
Well, that's not per retreat.
Nope. Okay. That's the whole shooting match. Okay. And it may go up $100, you know, once in a while, but it's not going to be like $3,000, okay? But this last year, we were able to do it for like $1,100, and, you know, so, but anyone else? Yeah.
Where's your next cohort going
to
take place?
Again, we basically respond to the hey, I'm interested, hey, when, you know, and if we get 3 to 5 churches in a region, that's when we'll say, hey, we're going to do one there next fall. So if you're interested as a church, you know, email me, johnm@ohioministry.net, and say, hey, I attend the session Saturday, and I think our church would be interested. And we want to have, I'm doing a cohort right now with 2 churches up in the Cleveland area, and it's fine, you know, but we're in the second, we're getting ready for the third one, you know. So, but again, I want to be careful. Both those guys have brought like monster number of people. I mean, there's like 40 people in the room, you know. I can't explain this. My wife has been there several times. The energy that begins to be generated in that room is a cross-pollination from church to church. You know, you understand what I'm saying? You know, because you're sharing about, hey, I did, you know, you can almost feel an energy rising as people begin to believe for their church again. So if you're interested, just johnm@ohioministry.net. And again, that's what we try to do to place them where we have some interest. So, yes. The Friday evening is basically 6:30 to 9. Okay, Saturday is 9:30 to 3:30. So, and again, there's a lunch provided, and that, so.
And then on creating your teams, you mentioned having representatives from a large part of the church and then newer parts of the church. Are there any other representatives that you recommend having on the team as far as like men and women or ages?
You know, we would discourage a pastor from bringing just board members. We would discourage a pastor from bringing just staff members because we want those represented. But if that's all that's around the table, we've found that tends to be a little bit of a limited lens of what's really happening in the church, okay? And so we would like one or two board members, maybe if you have a, when I say staff, I'm not talking paid staff, I'm just talking people that, you know, are leading ministries, you know, maybe one or two of them. And then again, age is not so much a factor, but when I talk age, I'm talking chronologically, but it would be great to have one or two people that are newer to the church around that table. Because they do. They just see things a little bit differently than those that have been there a while. And the other thing, this is not something you can quantify, but I want people at that table that you sense already have some buy-in. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody. You sense they want to be a part. They're not even sure what they're a part of yet. But, man, you can sense that. Man, I like what I see. I'm not sure what it is yet, but, you know, does that make sense to you? You know, some people that buy in that you know that you don't want somebody going through this retreat and then the Sunday after the retreat saying, Pastor, God love you, we love you, appreciate you, we'll see you later. Well, you want people that you sense want to go with you on the journey as you begin. So does that help? You know, in the booklet we gave you, there are some tips in the back of it about the vision team and so forth and those kinds of things.